All right, this is the interactive portion of the program. We're going to take your calls with Daryl Sims. We're going to let him wrap up and talk about his four-year-old experience on with an alien, and then we'll get into your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with the alien hunter, Daryl Sims. Daryl, I'll let you finish up the story when you were 4 years old and had that E.T. experience.
Yes, the entity was, he turned around after I wondered why he was going to walk into the wall, and he apparently heard me. When he turned around, I saw him, and I was stunned, and I noticed several things. Number one was that he didn't have any clothes on at all, and it's cold. It's wintertime. I thought, how could you? It's freezing out there. And the second thing I noticed, and kids notice things adults don't notice at all, not only did not have any clothes on, he didn't have a TT. He didn't have a belly button. I mean, kids would notice that. He didn't have a belly button. I have one. Where's his? And I'm really confused by this whole thing. And the next thing that stunned me more than anything in the world is I heard him talking in my head, and he said, "It's awake." And at that point, I was in for a real surprise. But the bottom line is, since then, I've learned a great deal about the alien. And for your audience, simply put, if you don't have genitalia or a navel, you weren't born. You didn't get here the way we did. You were either hatched, cloned, made, or manufactured, and for a particular purpose. And I suspect we're it, part of that program. And the fact is that the abductions are only about 150, 200 years old, maybe even less than that. The contact experience, so to speak. The aliens have been around for thousands of years. That's absolutely true. You can see it on petroglyphs all over the world, and I have.
Do you think, Daryl, that the people are being abducted and not being brought back?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And we have evidence of some people that were abducted and brought back and were in a far worse state than they were when they left. One lady, which obviously I'll never show this except to medical people, was skinned alive in her bed.
Oh, jeez.
And there's not a drop of blood on her. I mean, just like a certain cattle mutilations.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
It's horrific. I had an argument with a police officer years ago. He said, "Well, this is all the CIA doing it." And I said, "They're in on this sort of thing. I get it. But you're missing the whole point. You can't throw everything in a bucket and say, that's it." I said, "It doesn't work that way. You're a cop. You no doubt think better than that." And he said, "If you got a case, make it." And I said, "I will." And I gave him a case of hundreds of pounds, hundreds of pounds of meat that fell from the air and landed. It had been checked by doctors and other people, and they had actually decided these were different kinds of animals, and which was weird. How did you get it in the air and land on the ground? Some of it had been sliced and was human, and they were specifically lungs, heart, and so on. And he says, "Well, that still doesn't say it wasn't the CIA." I said, "It happened in the 1800s.
That's amazing. In this agenda, what do you think the agenda is, Daryl?
I wish I totally knew. If I knew everything, I could tell you everything. I can only surmise. What I believe isn't nearly as important as what I can prove or have evidence of. So as a cop, I take that stance pretty much. And the evidence is showing that manipulation is at least happening to a lot of it. And two, that in cases of extreme contact, it's not going to go well for people or animals.
Not at all.
Yes, sir.
Not at all. Now, these cases, these abduction cases where people are brought back, generally, like Travis Walton in those cases, it's what, a couple hours?
Yes. And normally, an hour and a half to 2 to 3 hours is the maximum. In rare cases, like Travis asked me, he said, "How is it that they said I felt like I was only gone for like 20 minutes, and they said I was gone for several days. How can that be?" And I said, "Well, Travis, if you use a physics hat here, it might provide an answer." And he said, "Okay." And I said, "If you're traveling at a relativistic speed, you may have actually been gone for 4 or 5 days from our point of view. You may have only been gone 20 minutes from your point of view. Einstein says both views are correct.
You checked your statistics and you say that about 45% of the people taken as abductees or contactees are Native American, Irish, or Celtic. Tell me about that.
Very good. When I first made this really a big public story, it was in Istanbul, Turkey, almost 20 years ago. And I've been back since, so go back to Tapley and so on.
Yeah.
But the big thing was when I told the Turks this, they said, we love your presentation. Everything you said, wonderful, except you have one big flaw in your story. And that's what's that? He said, we're Turks. We're not Indians. And I laughed and I said, my stats are correct, sir. And he said, and they said, no, but we're Turks. I said, you're not listening to me. I said, 55% of people taken are not Native American, Indian, Irish, Celtic, et cetera.
That's right. That's right.
And I said, but you're missing the point. I said, your people originally lived in teepees, not just tents, not Arabic tents, but teepees, very similar to Native Americans. And they laughed and were like, well, we never heard of that. And I said, okay. A professor in Ankara, the capital of Turkey, did a DNA study on certain Native American tribes in the north, took the DNA back, and tested a lot of the Turk populations and found they are related to Native Americans. And they had the biggest powwow you ever saw in Turkey over that.
And this is a worldwide, this is worldwide too, though, isn't it, Daryl?
It is. It is worldwide. I've got cases in India, Japan. It makes no difference. Slovakia. It makes no difference whatsoever. The cases are still real. They're still the same.
Now, why would the statistics show that most are Native American, Irish, Celtic, 45%? That's a lot for just
in my opinion,
three groupings.
The manipulation is the name of the game with contact. That's just it. And I don't care what you're in the program that is called benevolent. It makes no difference. It's still about manipulation. You're getting what you're going to get the dose, whether you like it or not, so to speak. And I think that, and some people tell me, well, they're upgrading our DNA. I don't know that to be true at all, but let's suppose it is. I said, if that is true or some semblance of that is true, I said, there are a lot of us that are being taken, like me, who are abductees. In other words, we don't like it. We're not going to go along with it. It's never going to happen. If that is the case, they're upgrading the DNA of the contactees, so to speak. What do you think they're doing for us that don't comply?
That's exactly
I
right.
Said, I can assure you in my own personal experience, I know something about that. And it's not positive.
Interesting take on all of this. Since you've been doing this all these years, what has been the most profound thing you've come across?
I suspect the most profound thing is the control they have over a lot of things we do. When I was 14 years old, I was in school and wanted desperately, I have no idea why, and it was, again, some thoughts put in your mind to do this. I was in school, and on the second story, Almagora High School, junior high, and I was I had this tremendous desire to leave school that very instant and go out in the desert where I often went to hunt and so on. And I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't, you know, violate my parents' rules, you know, go to school and all that. However, that was Friday. Saturday morning, grabbed my little 22 rifle and went out in the desert to the exact place I knew to go, and found myself standing there in the hot sun, and I can't figure out why my head's so hot. Why the sun's burning down on me. And I didn't realize that until I opened my eyes, I'd just been brought back. And I'm standing here with a 22 rifle, 17 rounds in it, and I opened my eyes, and there's the alien walking away from me, the same guy that always picks me up. I call him the cosmic pizza delivery guy because we're the pizza. And he's walking away, and I snapped to consciousness. Too early, I'm not supposed to see him, and he's walking away. As soon as I thought, what is that? He hears my thinking, And he turns around and he's scared. It's the first time I've seen fear on his face ever in my life. He realized at that point I had a gun. I could shoot him. I'm a very good shot. I could have shot him and killed him instantly, but I didn't. But I chased him, and later he disappeared. But I looked in the sand and saw his tracks. I wasn't imagining anything.
Have you, in all your studies, come across something that just baffled you so much it was almost frightening for you?
I have. There are some contact events are far worse than I would like to admit. Not just the mutilations. Those are beyond horrific. We got mutilation cases of even children in Texas.
Yeah.
There are things like that. They kind of don't make any sense when you think it. People say, well, the aliens are far, they're a million light years ahead of us. And I said, well, according to Dr. Bob Wood, he asked me that question, how far are the aliens ahead of us? And I said, I hate to answer that because it's going to sound crazy if I do. And he said, tell me. I said, Dr. Wood, they're no more than 15 to 50 years ahead of us. And everybody started laughing, except for Dr. Wood. He looked at me stunned, and he said,
he knew what you were saying.
Said, those are the exact figures that I came to based on the back engineering tech information I have. They're not that far ahead of us. I said, no, they're not. That's a ruse.
They should be.
They should be, but that's not the program.
Let's take some calls for you.
It would absolutely amaze you to know what we have tech-wise. We've captured ships that have crashed, no question about that, since the 30s, maybe even earlier. I could tell some stories on that alone. The point is...
That's a whole show all by itself.
We have the tech. Is it back-engineered? I don't think that it's nearly as back-engineered as we think. I talked to a NASA engineer today about it. He said, that stuff is, it. He said, we really don't know. I said, in about 15 to 50 years, we would. And he said, yeah, sure. I said, thank you. That's the point.
Let's go to some calls for you, and then we'll finish up after the break with more calls. Brendan is with us in Austin, Texas. Hey, Brendan.
Hello. Thank you guys so much. It's always an honor. I'm going to make it quick, and we'll keep on going.
Alrighty.
I was calling because I wanted to ask about the patterns, but you had kind of elaborated a little bit more on it. But what patterns have you found, other than the ones you've mentioned, on the implants, abductees, and contactees? Is there a difference between them and the patterns that you found? Are they psychic? Do they have the same blood type? I know that you mentioned the nationality.
Mm-hmm.
And what did debunkers say about the implants? How do they say that somebody could put something inside of them? Or aren't there surgery videos that are pretty credible of them removing it? How could that be faked?
Okay. The answer to your question to begin with is, and I'll give you an actual scientist confronted me in Hallam University in England. He walked by and looked at my implant presentation. It was just a stand sitting there. And he said, that's the biggest bunch of crap I ever heard. And I said, okay, how do you know that? Because it is. None of it's real. And I said, okay, how do you know that? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're obviously a psychic. I'm a scientist. I said, no, you're a psychic. A scientist would have asked me the obvious question. How did you come by this information, and what credible science did you have to support your views? You didn't ask that question. You said it was crap to begin with. That's what you said.
Okay, Daryl, we can't say that on the air. Daryl?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I said, I don't understand why you're acting this way. Being a skeptic is one thing. I said, but, and then he said, well, do you have any science? And I answered his question. I said, we've had studies done by NIDS, the National Institute for Discovery Science, literally Stanford University. We've had interest from MIT and other places. In even the Royal Society of Chemical Engineers has looked at our work. He said, what? And I said, just because you don't know doesn't mean that's called ignorance. You simply don't know. I said, all you have to do is ask. I'm glad to answer your questions. So from a skeptic point of view, we've answered those questions. But if a skeptic it wants to be a skeptic for this purpose of being one, I don't know what evidence would be considered appropriate for someone like that. But concerning the stats, there are all kinds of statistics that we found. We found that many of these abductees, and this is amazing to me, on our 20-page questionnaire, one of the questions is, have you ever had thoughts enter your mind that definitely were not yours? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Sure, to most of them, I guess.
It's amazing. So where does this stuff come from? And so it's about control. It's about somebody being in charge of your brain. If we're only using 0.002%, not 10%, but 0.002% of our brain capacity, if that's true, oh my goodness, somebody out there, I mean, the government or somebody or an alien or whatever is going to be interested in using the rest of it. Because somebody, and here's the big one, somebody has come a long, long way to get what you have. And the reason is because they don't have it. You think they do, but they don't.
They're harvesting, aren't they?
You're unique. There's something so different about you. And when we do our various tests and psychological tests and things with abductees, one of them is called the six reasons they pick you up. When they answer and go through that fun evaluation, it's amazing to find out the abilities that these people have. Some are psychic because after the fact or before, is it the chicken or egg? We don't really know. It may be due to the trauma that people go through, some of this stuff. But I hope that'll answer some of your questions. On the statistic, if you write me at alienhunter.org, just go there and click on Alien Hunter, ask your questions. I'll answer them for you. The service is free.
That's fascinating the way most of that works, isn't it? It's just what they're doing.
Stunning to me. Just stunning.
How many different races of ETs have you come across, Daryl?
Okay. Kind of fasten your seatbelt for this one. In my opinion, according to a certain ancient Indian literature in India, there may be 100,000 races out there in the universe. I don't know. I haven't met them all. But I've met about seven of these characters that show up in UFO literature very commonly. The Nordic, the Gray, the Gray's Boss.
Reptilians.
So in my opinion, based on what I saw when I was 6 years old, 4 years old, this entity was made, hatched, cloned, or manufactured. In my opinion, the seven models we're looking at, and I use the word model because it's like their models are not races. The DNA of each one of these, in my opinion, comes from planet Earth.
Interesting. We'll talk about that when we come right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Jonathan Emore joins us. Are your rights being whittled away? We're going to talk about that for a few hours. And then Susan Miller, astrologer, joins us and says, 2021, is it going to be as bad as a lot of people think? So we'll be doing that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Our final segment with the alien hunter, Daryl Sims. Let's go to the calls again. Let's go to first-time caller Ron in Dallas. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Well, good morning.
Hi there.
I have a question for Daryl.
Sure.
And the question is pertaining to, is that, has he studied any cases pertaining to children that have been abducted by aliens that maybe have mental and physical handicaps that, you know, don't have the ability to express themselves on what's happening to them, and doctors and parents is, just don't want to deal with the situation?
Do you think that could be happening, Daryl?
I think that's a brilliant question. We had a case referred to us by mental retardation in Houston from their primary doctor up there. And as soon as I saw the young guy, I said, he's obviously a mental patient. I called his doctor and I said, why did you send him here? And she says, I think you can help him a lot better than we can. His problems are not just psychological. There's other things that have happened to him. We can't treat. And I thought, well, that was interesting. So I hung up and I asked him some questions about his doctor, which was most revealing. And I said, why do you think the doctor is an interest in sending you to me? And he said, oh, well, she's got the same marks on her that I have.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
It was an abductee.
Before the break, Daryl, you were talking about seven DNA issues. I'll let you wrap that up.
Well, the DNA, we're working right now with a DNA guy, and we're going to try to set up a DNA testing service specifically for abductees and contactees. We think it's going to net us certain kinds of information. No, I don't believe that everybody's DNA has been altered, and that because of your blood type, you're unique and special and different. Majority of the people with the blood types O negative, like mine, are abductees. Most of them are. And people say, oh, no, it's got to be Rh negative. And so that's, we know there's something in the blood. We know there's something there, yes, but we don't yet know what it is. And we've had a stem cell specialist come in and explain this. And she's also an abductee, by the way. This stuff is just absolutely amazing. So the DNA is fascinating to me because I think that we're going to see some fascinating things. For instance, a big UFO organization not long ago stated that women that claimed they were artificially inseminated are not telling the truth, or that they're not reading their body correctly, or they actually did have sex with somebody and they're blaming it on an alien, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was honored to speak to a whole group of these investigators, and the last implant that I showed them was one I thought was the most troubling, and it was an alien fetus inside a woman on her sonogram.
Oh, geez.
Nobody said a word after that.
It clearly looked alien?
Well, according to the two specialist that I saw in a fetal hospital in London, I threw the sonograms out on the table and I said, I don't know what to think of these. I'm a private investigator in the state of Texas. This is not a court case. I just want to know what in the world are we looking at here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, I want to bring a consult in. They had two doctors there and they looked at them, rearranged the sonograms. And she says, well, wait a minute. That's not correct. Whoever took these sonograms wasn't interested in the fetal development whatsoever. And I said, could you tell me, based on what you're looking at, what they might have been interested in? She says, oh, my God, what a strange little head. Large, bulbous head with a long, pointed little chin. That's weird. I said, could you tell me what medical condition that might be accounted for? She said, well, possibly hydrocephalus. And I said, she says, but I don't think so. And I said, I agree with you because my sister had hydrocephalus, and I promise you, she didn't look like that.
No. Now, and what happened to the fetus?
Oh, my goodness. We do a whole show on that. When I first got the story from an investigator, I didn't believe it. I thought this is right out of X-Files. Somebody made it up. That they're pulling your chain. And she got pregnant. She didn't know how, and she went to this abortion clinic, a real small place, and was going to get it removed at some point.
Oh, Jesus.
She went through the full term, and she went in at the end, and she told them, I've decided I'm going to keep the baby. She doesn't know it's alien. And they, according to her story, gassed her and knocked her out and took the fetus. And long story short, she ended up wandering around. Next day or so, when she could walk and was capable of that, she came back to the clinic, and no one was in there.
No one.
And I said, that sounds like a cock and bull story to me. Something wrong with this picture. And he said, I'm with you on that. He said, but here are her sonograms. They made a mistake and didn't go check the secondary place that she had sonograms done. And that's where she had her best evidence. They took her fetus, whoever it was. And
whoever
it
took
the
it.
Alien.
Good
it
point.
It wasn't the alien.
Joe in Monterey, California. Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
How do I put this? I have some experiences, but I also have a very good question. They don't need ships to come here. they could incarnate, they could be spiritual, they could incarnate from other planets, from planet to planet, and they develop themselves. They can be very powerful that way. We can be very powerful that way. Why do they investigate us? Because we're from all different parts of the universe, but mostly our spirituality. We could do miracles. We can do awesome things when we develop ourselves, and they don't want that. They will attack anything, any kind of form of love, because that's divine. So they want to control our divinity more than anything else, even physically. Because if you do that, you control the mind, you control the very being of the individual.
Why do you say that, Joe?
Because I run into them, and this is what they tell me, and this is what I see, because I've defended myself psychically, telekinetic healing from a distance, or you could use those powers to upset their ships. You could push back an invasion if there's enough of us together telepathically, and I've run into people that are from other worlds, and I know one. I can't give you his name, but he's a hybrid, and I know he's a hybrid. He even told me, and we had a discussion. They know who people are. They know that if you're incarnated from another planet, advanced planet, they could see that. ETs respect the positive ones, respect your spirituality and who you are as a being. Not so much physical. We have to stop thinking so much of technology and physicalness and go to the inner person, because that's what's in these other worlds.
All right, Daryl, what do you think of what Joe has to say here?
Well, I think he's onto something, but we have obviously different perspectives, as many people do. I can assure you from my many, many years of contact with the alien and my experiences and thousands of cases I've looked at intimately all over the world, the best information I have is that there's the seven models we're looking at are not reincarnations of anything, in my opinion. It's a great idea, and I understand that, and I still respect it. Don't get me wrong. It's a good attempt to try to explain some of this stuff. But what I'm finding is that the DNA, and that's another one of the DNA tests we want to do, because we have, in our opinion, possible samples of the alien. If that's true.
If it's true.
And it stands scrutiny, we're in for some real surprises.
And there's no question DNA about that.
DNA appears to come from planet Earth.
Which is bizarre, isn't it?
It is. And it, again, goes against the idea they're here from other planets or here to whatever. And I mean, those are great stories, and some of that may be true. There may be aliens out there. I don't know. I admit everybody. But the seven models we're dealing with, they're not telling us the whole story. We're getting different kinds of information here. But the DNA is going to tell the story. It really will.
We've got Bill in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Bill, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. When are you coming back to Dallas, Texas?
We got to work on that. I missed that.
Coming up there, actually, within, we had like 17 breaks of plumbing during the freeze up here and our three little apartments, my house. I just barely got my water just turned on this week. So you can't get a plumber for 2 months. It's that bad.
Jeez.
So I'm having to do it all by myself. But I'm planning on coming to Dallas for several real good reasons in that area. I've got abductees from Texarkana all the way down to Dallas that I've got to talk to.
All right. Go ahead with your question, Bill.
Well, I have a question and a real, real short story. The question is there any kind of defense against these people or protection?
Yes. And if you write me, I'll be glad to send you a lot of our information on the self-defense with the alien. Everything from, because everybody think I'm like Mr. Technical and everything. That's just not true. I have seven hats I wear. A spiritual hat's one of them. So okay. I'm interested in alien and from a spiritual point of view, from a Native American point of view, from a medical, scientific point of view, everything. So all of it's important to me.
And, all right. And what is your story for us, Bill?
Well, quick story. A friend of mine indicated that he had had problem with the alien situation. He said that he had an implant, two of them, one in the left side of his forehead and another one in the middle of his chest. He thought they were doing research and keeping up with his heartbeat and his mental stability. He also told me a story about one night he ended up being abducted and put in a battle situation, or maybe a battle simulation, and he figured out the way he could control it would be to use his imagination and create some special kind of weapon. And they threw him in a situation where he had to protect some lady and a baby while he subdued the alien. And he said he no sooner beat the guy up or whatever it was and tied him up and turned around, the lady went right back over there and untied the guy again, and he had to try to do it all over.
Huh.
So he said he just burned up the whole building and the whole city with this gun he created in this simulator, whatever he was in. He also said one night he was watching television, and all at once in his mind's eye, it started running a film strip of his day's events, and he was able to look back into the mind of whoever was doing it. He saw a strange planet with weird-looking grass or dirt, and when he looked up at the sky, he said it was like a putrid kind of a green, off-green, and it kind of made him sick. And next thing he knew, he was out of that entire situation. What do you think about those type of stories?
Well, first of all, I don't know how true it is, not could have wasn't there, but I can tell you for a fact that that I have a case actually in Istanbul, Turkey, and I've known about it for almost, it's 20 years now, and I went back recently, and the individual has had almost an identical story. They've had her in various scenarios doing all kinds of things just to see what she would do. And in my opinion, that's like a holodeck, so to speak, in Star Trek. And they put you in these situations whereby you know, to watch you and to see how you'll operate. And so the story's not new to me. It's been imagined or done before, in my opinion. But it's not real common at all.
Daryl, didn't remote viewer Russell Targ see bodies on a UFO in a remote viewing session?
Thank you for mentioning that. I was on a science panel with Russell Targ, and he told that he had he's one of the few remote viewers I think is really, really classy. He said, we remote viewed a UFO, and we found dead human beings in the UFO. He said, it really scared us. And that when it became my turn to speak, I said, well, I don't have the RVing acumen that you do. I said, but I do take some of my abductees and train them, those that are specially equipped for this, and they're going to get abducted again. The only difference is I can show them how to manipulate beyond the alien's control and still leave the alien in control. And the point is that I said, in one case, one abductee saw over 300 bodies in containers.
Wow.
And
of humans. And
it freaked him out. That was in his program. He stopped everything. It just messed with him too bad.
And these were human beings, dead ones.
He assumed they were all human. I said, well, they may be a manipulation. They were human in form, to be sure. But one of the ones that he saw, they were in a milk-like liquid. Containers in the ship shook in some way for some reason. And one of the humans, or whatever it was, inside the container, its face fell forward, and he could see the face and the shoulder and the knees at that point. And it scared him so bad that it brought him out of the state that I had him in, and the aliens actually caught him and made him feel depressed that he had betrayed them and so on and so on.
Great story.
And he remembered the bodies.
Daryl, keep in touch with us, and let's get you back on again. Daryl Sims, the Alien Hunter. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ryan Stacey, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, George Napany, and Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.